over the room. Good. Okay, so the Liberty Project and the Journey are going to be hosting this series of workshops. I'm sorry, this workshop over 2 days called The Real Freedom. And I know that in general that sounds, when you hear the term real freedom, it sounds like a general statement, very conceptual. But I just want to remind you, as we've hosted this workshop before, there are very, very practical and real things that we can start doing and inputting into our life, into our spiritual life, into our daily practices right now, today, that will lead us and cause us to go down a path and experience God's freedom in a bigger and a larger way. And part of that is through education. It's through sitting down and learning from people who have studied this and who are living it out. And so what we're doing on Friday, and it's this Friday, July 17th, from 7 to 8:30, and then again on Saturday, July 18th, from 9 to 3:30, we are going to have a workshop entitled Real Freedom that's going to provide you with just those things. Okay, they're actually real tools that you can utilize in your life, like hearing from the Lord, like knowing who you are and identifying with the identity that Christ has given you. Utilizing those tools to help you experience God's freedom in just a bigger, not some general way, but a very real way for you right now. Whatever situation you have, you find yourself in, and whatever area that you feel constricted or you feel like the enemy has just kept a stronghold over you for some reason, those are the things we're going to talk about and discuss. And so today we're going to hear from Jim Sim. We're going to actually continue the series that we started in the beginning of the summer called the Red Letter Series. And this is a series highlighting some of the things that Jesus is talking about throughout the Gospels. And a lot of them, sometimes pastors and preachers from the platform like to pick and choose these verses that sound really well to our ears and kind of tickle us and make us feel really good about who Jesus was. And then there's other times where Jesus says some things that seem a little divisive across the board. There's some things that should bother us. There's some things that Jesus says that should be poking us and stretching us and making it hard for us to swallow because we're not perfect and we're not just like him. Amen? He is through his process of building us up, through the process of sanctifying us, he is making us like himself. And it's through the times and through these scriptures and verses that seem kind of hard to digest that we are stretched, that God gives us a new wineskin in order to contain more of his spirit. Amen. So this morning I want you to put your hands together for a very special dear friend of mine, Mr. Jim Sim. Let's give it up.
One, two, three, four, five. This looks weird, doesn't it? Thanks, Steve. Okay, if you'll turn with me, if you have a Bible with you, however you like to follow along on your phone, your iPad, whatever you have, to John chapter 14. And I'm going to read a little bit from there and jump around between John 14 and 16. And then later on, we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So if you want to kind of mark that, you can. But let's go to John 14 to begin with. And for those of you new faces who are maybe here for the first time, or certainly you're new to me, Sari and I, my wife, haven't been here for a while. We belong to the Journey, but we moved 7 months ago to Panama. That's Panama, Panama. Somebody asked me the other day, Panama City Beach, Florida? I said, no, Panama, the country. So we have started a ministry there. We have a ministry called the Liberty Project, and we started a Journey Church in Panama. So we're back here. We've been for a few weeks. We have one more week left. And, of course, I'm speaking for Les today since he's gone. But just to let you know, there's little folders back here, flyers that we have about retreats in Panama called Real Freedom Retreats. If you're interested in coming down there and staying with us a while, and there's different things. I won't go into the details. That's on there. You can take a look over there at the end. Okay. So John chapter 14. Well, like Stevie said, we are in this red letter series, and Stevie explained what that means, what this series is about, and that there are some things that should aggravate us. And in fact, we were at a marriage conference this weekend. Sari and I were there, some of the others. I think Steve was there, and and some others were there, and by Jimmy Evans. He's from Amarillo, Texas. And he said something related to marriage that's kind of related to this Red Letter series. He was talking about how communication should work between husband and wife. And he gave this illustration of going to a store, and you should be able, when you communicate, to go to the customer service department and make a complaint without being shamed, without the complaints department telling you you're an idiot, right? Have we ever been there where you go return something and the people act like you stole or that you broke it on your, or something like that, right? And they shame you into, well, good customer service never does that. And he was relating how communication in a marriage should be that if you want to offer a complaint, you should be able to do it without getting shamed in return. And if you can't do that, if you are the one being complained about, and you can't just listen and receive it, maybe you're defensive because there's something you need to change that you don't want to. In other words, if you go to the store, they don't want to give you a new sweater or a new electronic gadget. They just want you to take the blame for breaking it, right? He was relating that to marriage. And the Red Letter series is like that. Sometimes Jesus is saying things, or there are scriptures that come at us in such a way, and if you find yourself defensive, or if you find yourself wanting to argue your way around it, maybe it's not because the preacher is wrong, or it's that version of the Bible that's wrong, or something like that. Maybe it's because Jesus is jabbing at something, asking for some change somewhere, and we just don't want to change it. We just don't like it. We think we've had this down for a long period of time. And it's just, so those moments are going to happen all through our lives, that Jesus is going to say something, and it's going to bother you inside. And we don't want to do all, what happened in the Garden of Eden all the way back, which was start looking for something or someone else to blame, right? Adam did that when God talks to him. It's kind of a Red Letter thing. He said, did you eat from that tree? I told you not to. Well, it was the woman that you gave me. That's what he does. That's what we want to do a lot. God starts speaking. You feel the discomfort of it inside. So we'll shuffle around and we'll do anything we can to project it somewhere else. Well, the Red Letter series is just that kind of series, so I'm expecting you to get a little uncomfortable in your seat today. And I'm going to talk about a scripture that has been difficult for me to digest over the years. I did this a couple of weeks ago when I talked about one. It was a whole chapter that I used to just skip over the whole chapter because I didn't like it. Because it messed with my head in such a way that I couldn't keep Jesus in control. And we're going to come to that here in a little bit. So let's read from John chapter 14. And I'm going to start at verse 15. So John 14, verse 15. And this is Jesus talking, and he says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Let's skip to verse 25. "All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Now, flip with me to chapter 16. And this is the part where we're going to... And for some of you already, this might be a red letter thing already, when Jesus starts talking about the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. And for a lot of people already, it's the Holy Spirit's like, oh no, don't talk about that. You know, that's too freaky and it's too weird. I can't work all that out. Don and I were out on the lake during the week, and we were talking about John Osteen, the father of Joel Osteen. And some of those guys back in then, they like to use the term the Holy Ghost. Don and I were talking about this. That's how some people, that's their tradition, that's how they use it. So if you say the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost right away, it's like, oh no, I don't want to talk about it. Let's talk about anything else except that. So just to get you a little uncomfortable, if it does make you uncomfortable, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So Jesus is talking about it right here. But in this next little part I'm going to read, I'm going to point out one scripture that for me was a red letter thing that was really difficult to get my head around, just even to accept it or understand why Jesus would say such a thing. So here it comes. Verse 1 of chapter 16. "All this I've told you," what we just read about the Holy Spirit coming to be a comforter and so on. He says, "All this I've told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They'll do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good. And here it is. It is for your good that I am going away. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then jump to verse 13. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So there's the scripture right there that for a long time for me was very difficult to get my head around why Jesus would say such a thing. So he's talking to the disciples and he's giving them some instruction. This is very close to right before he was crucified. And he's giving them some instruction, as you would, right? If you're leaving, you're going away, you're talking to the people that you love the most, you're giving them your most important instructions, right? Sorry, son, Joshua was in our house in Panama. I left a whole instruction sheet for him. We're leaving, we're going to be 6 weeks. We want to come back and the house is not burned down. So here's the instructions right here, young man, follow them, right? You don't put a whole bunch of stuff in there. You pinpoint certain things. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's talking to the disciples, pinpointing, and he's talking a lot for these two chapters about the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, they're going to come and want to kill you. And I'm telling you all this to warn you when it happens, that it's going to get rough. In fact, I'm telling you this, and it's better for you that I go. Now, if I was in their shoes, I would disagree with that. You don't have to raise your hand, but you might feel the same way. How would it be better that Jesus, who's with them, they've been 3 years now doing miracles, they've been on a boat where they were in a storm and they thought they were going to drown, and he woke up and calmed the storm. They were somewhere with a bunch of people, they had nothing to eat and they were hungry. He turned the bread and the fishes, you know, he multiplied it and fed 5,000 people. So you can imagine the sense of security and confidence that they have. In fact, they gave up their careers and their livelihoods and their family businesses, some of them. They gave up their reputation, some of them, to follow Jesus for 3 years. They're deeply confident, and here's where their security is. And he's saying this to them, it's going to get bad. I'm leaving. You're probably going to get persecuted, and some of you will be killed, but it's still better for you that I go. That's a radical statement, and for a long time, I didn't like it. It bothers me, or it has bothered me. So I'm going to come to explaining that. But let's first talk about who he talks about is going to take his place. He said, it's better for you that I go, because unless I go, the Comforter can't come to you. The Counselor. This word is translated from a Greek word called parakletos, or the paraclete is what it's called in English, what theologians like to call it. And it means in the New Testament Greek, it means the same kind as. Meaning, Jesus is saying, I'm going to send someone the same kind as me to be with you. And unless I go, he can't come to you. So I have to go for that reason. And we're going to talk about this person, the Holy Spirit. The paraclete is translated as a counselor, a helper, an advocate, a comforter. If you read different translations, that's how he is described. And he's described as a he, that's important, not because it's gender, it's just it's going to be he or she, it's picked as a he. But it's not an it. He emphasizes him as a person. This is the first thing we have to understand about this comforter, the Holy Spirit, that it's not an all-pervasive force, you know, like Star Wars or something like that, you know, the force be with you. You know, Jesus is not saying, I'm leaving and the force will be with you. It's not a force, it's a person. He sends someone the same kind as me. And of course, he's unseen. He's invisible. It talks about that in verse 17. It says, you won't be able to see him, but you will know him because, and this is the wonderful part of it, he will be with you and he will be in you. Jesus talks about this. A couple of things I want to point out. There's more than what I'm going to point out, but this is what in the passage I'm talking about. Jesus mentions that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth, and he is a spirit of peace. There's many things throughout the New Testament, throughout the whole Bible, that reveal who the Holy Spirit is and what he's like. But for the sake of our passage today, I want to focus on this. The Spirit of truth and the Spirit of peace is the one that is coming to replace Jesus' role on the earth. Then he goes on in John 14, and this is the one part I want to highlight here. Verse 18, he will be with you and he will be in you. And he says, I will not leave you as orphans. Now, here's the important part of who the Holy Spirit is. He comes to us as a parent. Jesus is describing him as a person. He's the Spirit of truth. He said, I'm going to leave peace with you, with the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of peace. You and I find our security in truth. If you're living by the truth, you feel very safe and you feel very secure, right? Have you ever been around somebody who lies a lot? You're never quite sure what's coming next, right? Don't point to anybody else in the room. We've all been around people who've lied a lot. Maybe you've lied a lot. I've lied in my life. Of course I have. When you're around people who lie a lot, you feel very insecure, don't you? You never quite know what's around the corner. I remember working for somebody one time, and he wanted me to cheat a client on something, and I wouldn't do it, and he was getting mad at me. I said, well, before you just keep trying to force me to do it, it's just not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. And you should be happy that I'm not going to do it. And this is why. That will tell you that I will never cheat you on any work that I'm doing here. That should be reassuring to you. You shouldn't be mad at me. You should be happy. And he goes, that's a good point. So that now he just got moved into a place of greater security with one of his employees. Why? Because of the truth. The truth, the Spirit of truth, gives us a sense of security. When our parents tell us the truth, we feel secure. When there's peace, we feel secure. And this is one of the major role of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is saying this, I will not leave you as an orphan, meaning insecure, alone, and afraid. I'm leaving, but you won't be alone. I'm leaving, but you don't need to be insecure. Because the Holy Spirit is coming as a parent to parent you, to give you truth, to give you peace, to give you security. This should be heartwarming for us, because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. Instead of us being afraid and wanting to like run away from him or not know how to figure him out, Jesus is making this very clear. When he comes, he'll bring you truth, he'll bring you peace, and he'll bring you deep security in your soul, even though you can't see him. It says the world can't see him and they don't know him. But you do. You will know him, not because you're going to see this and that and the next thing, but because he'll be in you and he will be with you. And this gives us a sense of security. I'm building up to something here where I'm going to really answer the question I posed at the beginning, which is still, why is it better that Jesus is gone? There's three things that the Holy Spirit does. So he gives us that security, but Jesus says three things here. What does he really do? Well, he teaches us about Jesus. We just read that. He's going to teach you about me. He reminds us about Jesus. That's the second thing that he does. And, of course, we have to listen and to receive that. And there's another really important thing that the Holy Spirit does for us and why we should be looking to embrace an intimacy and a relationship with him as a child to a parent, one of trust and dependency, one of need, that I need your security. I need your truth. I need your peace. I need your guidance. I need your wisdom, Holy Spirit. This is why, because Jesus says this, he will also tell you the things that are yet to come. Has anybody ever wondered what's ahead in your future? Nobody? Yeah, you can raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've ever really wanted to know what's in your future. All right, good. Yeah, you're with me. I'm not the only one then. I feel better. I'm in good company. This is a deep prayer that all of us pray. One of the prayers that we often pray, maybe misguided, we say, why did this happen to me, God? Right? Anybody ever prayed that? Why did this happen to me, God? Right, you know. Or why is this happening to me, God? Or can you explain this to me, God? Or what's going to happen next? Let's face it, lots of our worry and our fear and our concern and our busyness and craziness and stress and all these things come from, I don't know what's happening tomorrow. Right? We just don't know. Jesus talks about this a lot. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. He talks about don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows you need them. You know, tomorrow has enough worry. Just worry about today. God will give you the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. There's a lot of things that happen to us because we're worried and concerning ourselves with the future. But Jesus says this, one of the things that the Spirit of Peace, the one who is the same as me, that's better for you that he comes, he's going to talk to you about your future. He's going to reveal the things that are yet to come with truth, and it will bring you peace. And so an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit is vital for us. It's vital for us to understand who he is and how he wants to work with us, how he wants to parent us and help us and give us this security, not just about today and not just about eternity, because we're confident about that, right, because of the blood of Christ. But as I go through my life into eternity, the Holy Spirit wants to show us. Now, this is not like, you know, going to a crystal ball or something like that and him to know all the details. It's what he wants to reveal. It's the things that we need to hear from him about our future. Because he's still not going to map everything out exactly for us, but he does want to tell you things. I'll give you an example. Recently, here's a biblical example first of how he wants to speak about things. Because sometimes people think the Holy Spirit's just a force. It's just, well, it makes people feel good, or if the Holy Spirit's here, we feel nice, or we feel happy, or exuberant, or something like that. All through the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is referred to in this way. And the Holy Spirit said to Peter, or the Holy Spirit told Paul to go do this. He speaks and he tells things. A really great example of this is our story where Peter in the book of Acts falls into a trance, just a deep dream. And he has this vision in this dream of a blanket, and there's animals on the blanket coming down from heaven, and God speaks to him. And then eventually, end of the story anyway, it says, the Holy Spirit said to him to do such and such, meaning there's going to be guys downstairs, they're going to come, go with them and preach the gospel. Very specific about his future. He was hungry and he fell asleep. And in that dream, the Holy Spirit said, you're going to wake up, there'll be guys downstairs, go with them and do such and such. Another time, the Holy Spirit spoke to a guy called Ananias. We know the story of Saul, right, who killed the Christians. He gets converted, and the Holy Spirit, it talks about the Holy Spirit speaking to him and saying specifically, go to Straight Street. There's a guy there called Simon the Tanner. Go to his house and lay hands on this guy and bless him and pray for him. We'd all like to see stuff like that, right? I had a story just recently. We're in Panama. I was praying one morning. Sorry, had gone off into town. And I was praying, and this doesn't happen to me a lot, what I'm about to explain. I was praying one morning, and I said, Lord, I would really like for you to tell me specific things to do for people. And I asked the Holy Spirit, will you help me hear your voice better so that I can do things for other people, that I can really minister to them, and they would know it was you, that it's not me being clever. And this is what the Lord said to me. There's a town about 30 minutes drive from us called David. And the Lord said this to me, go to David at 11 o'clock. Now, that does not happen to me very often. Now, some people have tons of stories like that. I hear God speaking to me about things, but not that specific. Go to David at 11 o'clock? So I look at my watch, and it was about 10:30. And I thought to myself, oh, what a drag. I'm going to have to go get changed. And see my mind, right? Oh, God, I want to serve you, and I want to hear you speaking to me. And he speaks, and you go, what a drag, man. Now I got to get changed. You know, I got to, like, get my flip-flops off because I was in my shorts, and I got to put some pants on, and oh, gosh. All right, so I sat, and I realized I was doing that. I just asked God to speak to me specifically for someone. He did it, and I'm already moaning about it. So anyway, I get ready. I'm in the car, 11 o'clock, so I take off. So I get to town, and I had a shopping list. We have a little shopping list for when we do go into town. I thought, I'll just go through the shopping list. So I go in this store. It's like a Home Depot store. So I wander around there, I get a few things, and then I'm just wandering up and down the aisles. And I'm saying, all right, Lord, I came to David at 11 o'clock. I got the shopping cart. And I thought, well, maybe he just wanted me to be a good husband. I went and bought some stuff for Sari. And I'm thinking, no. So I kept wandering. Eventually, I said, okay, it's time to go home. So I got in line. As I'm in line at the store, I hear a voice behind me at the checkout, somebody calling me Jim. It's not like I know a lot of people. You know, we've been there 7 months, but I don't know a lot of people. Somebody calling me, so I look, and it's Sari's Spanish teacher, and I'd only met him one time. So he's in line, and he's there with his fiance, and so I go over and I talk to them, and I say, oh, you must be the fiance. She's German. She just got to Panama that day, and you're here to get married, right? And he said, yeah, and guess who we'd like to do the wedding? I'm like, who? He said, you. I was like, okay. Now, this young man's not, he's very interested in God, but he doesn't call himself a Christian. So he's like, you.
I said, oh, okay. He said, will you do that? I said, sure, let's talk about it later. So anyway, I leave. I'll make the story short. Another couple of things like that happened, and then I went home. So I thought, well, that was that God wanted me to meet the young man. Well, a few weeks later, he was talking to me, and he said, remember that day we met you in the store? He said, I had just picked up my fiance from the airport, and she had said to me, who are we going to get to do the wedding? I've never met her, and I've met him once. Who are we going to get to do our wedding? And she said to him, oh, Sari's husband, why don't you ask him to do it? He said, all right, let's ask him. And she said, well, you got to set it up for me to meet him then. They drove 6 hours and went into a store, and there was me standing in the line right there. Now, those things are not coincidence. So now there's a friendship that's growing between me and him. He started asking me about God. He comes to Sari one day, and he said, I had a dream last night about your husband. He was dressed like a monk. And he had a Patsy, it's not that funny, all right? You're picturing me as a monk, right? Like Friar Tuck, shaved my head and got bees and honey and stuff like that. So anyway, he had a dream of me dressed as a monk with a big staff and all these sheep behind me. And he's walking along with me, asking me questions about God, right? And the thing is, we had started praying for him and saying, this young man and this young woman, God is going to give them to us, to minister to them, to love them, to bless them. So it all started, well, it didn't start from my perspective. It all started with, Holy Spirit, will you tell me about my future today? What's ahead for me today? What do you want to do? What do you want to give me? Go to David at 11 o'clock. I tell you, you just never know the things that are going to unfold when we will yield ourselves to our parents, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and let God parent us. And it's such a secure and wonderful place to be in. So here's why it's better that Jesus leaves. I'm getting to the question. Here's why it's better. I'm going to go to and read something from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Even when I think about the Holy Spirit, and as I was thinking this morning and last night about, there's so many things you could use to describe him. In fact, in the New Testament alone, here's two contradictions for you, right? Seems like. The Holy Spirit is talked about as fire. On the day of Pentecost, we all know that story, right? It says that the fire came down on people's head, tongues of fire, and the Holy Spirit revealed himself as fire on everybody. Another time, Jesus says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And it says he was talking about the Holy Spirit who was yet to be poured out. So how does fire and water go together? I see, it's like, it's already messing with my head. I'd rather just ignore this stuff because it's too confusing at times, right? When you try to work it out with your head. How can he be fire and how can he be water? Well, he can be anything he wants to be because he's God. And at different times, he wants to express himself to you and to me in different ways to show his power. And what's interesting to me about the fire thing is like an external deal, you know, Pentecost and then the pillar of fire in the Old Testament. But the rivers of living water, it says, come from deep within. And that's what Jesus talked about in the Gospel of John. He said, you won't be like orphans because he will be with you and he will be in you. And this is why it's better. While Jesus was on the earth, he put some limitations on himself. He became a physical man. That's a miracle. The virgin birth, and he grew up as a boy. We read of him at 12 years old, and then he becomes a man to substitute himself to die for us on the cross. And he kept that limitation. There are reasons why Jesus said, he would say to his disciples, I have to go to all these towns and I have to preach. He could only be in one place at one time. Now, we know that God is all-present and almighty. But while Jesus was on the earth as a man, he had limitations, just like we do. And he could only be in one place at one time. So he can be with the 12, or he can be with the 120, or he can be with the 5,000, but he can't be with the whole world at the same time while he's on the earth. And this is why he said, it's better for you personally that I go, because then the counselor will come who will be in you. A physical Jesus doesn't live inside me. The physical Son of God right now, the Bible says, is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So a physical Jesus doesn't live inside me. The Spirit of Jesus lives inside me, baptizes me and overflows me, and wants to live inside you and baptize you and overflow you. So Jesus has now multiplied himself all over the globe, inside every believer. The power of the kingdom of God that Jesus said was at hand, that has now changed human history, goes from China to the Shetland Islands to Panama to Texas, because the Spirit of Christ wants to live in you and be with you and multiply the power and the glory of His kingdom. Jesus makes it better for us. Sometimes we don't think about this, I think. We think about and we pray, especially at Christmas, right? We're so grateful, and we should be, that God sent His Son into the world. We know that scripture. God gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. God gave His one and only Spirit to come and live and be on planet Earth right now and live inside you. When Jesus left, He sent the Spirit to come and be permanently with you, to be permanently in you, to permanently parent you and give you security and truth and peace and tell you about your future. All of these things they've already mentioned. We think about Christmas, we think about this phrase, Emmanuel, God with us. That is who Jesus is. But right now, it's the Holy Spirit is Emmanuel, God with you. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the bottom line of everything that the gospel is about, is that God Almighty is with us. Not that He's distant, not that He's in heaven, not just that Jesus is coming back one day, but that today, in your life in this little building, God is with you. God Almighty is with you. He wants to be in you, is what Jesus said. He will be in you. This is the miracle of the gospel, everything that Jesus did with the new covenant. We could go through all the theology and all the doctrine of Christology and salvation and sanctification, all this stuff, and it all comes down to one thing, the last thing Jesus said before He left, surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the presence of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, who's with you and wants to be in you and all over you today. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. You know, when we get baptized in water, right, we're all the way in. Well, it's all over us, and we're all the way back out again. You know, it's a representation of dying and coming alive again. And Jesus, it says, is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, meaning I want to put you all the way in, and stay wet, dripping wet. Well, you know, how does that go with fire? I don't know, but that's how it is, right? He wants you dripping wet, and He wants you full of fire. That's the Holy Spirit. That's who He is. That's a gift that He gives to us. And Him being with us is as a father, a parent. This is our gift. God as a father, always with us. I started off by talking about this Holy Spirit is coming who brings security to us. There's a verse in the book of Romans that says that the Holy Spirit inside us is the one who helps us to cry out from within and say, Abba, Father. Meaning that we're not people being judged. We're not people being condemned. We're not people being chased down to behave better. We're people being pursued by a loving parent, invited into a relationship that says, I can be secure the whole of my life and for all of eternity because the Holy Spirit, my Abba, Father, is with me always and all over me, and He makes me secure. I was going to read from 1 Corinthians 2, but I just blew right past it. I want us to pray. So if you'll bow your heads with me for a minute. Just keep your eyes closed for a minute. And I was going to read 1 Corinthians 2 because it talks about how the Holy Spirit, it says, searches the deep things of God. It says that no one knows the mind of God except the Holy Spirit, but that He wants to reveal it to me and you. Not in your mind, but in your spirit. Spirit to spirit. That's how He wants to speak. And He wants to speak to you today by you allowing Him, by receiving the Holy Spirit and saying, yes, I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to speak to me about the things Jesus said He would speak about. And that's first of all about Jesus. So I want you where you are to welcome the Holy Spirit to your life and say, speak to me, Holy Spirit, about Jesus. What do you want to show me about Jesus right now? And wait for a moment and let Him show you. Another thing, and you can pick any one of these to focus on. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. Is there truth that you need in your life right now about something? Ask Him, Holy Spirit, I welcome you to show me the truth Show me the truth. If you need peace, welcome the Holy Spirit of peace. Say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you to give me peace in this part of my life. I welcome you to give me peace in my life. And the last thing I want you to pray is this. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to parent me. I want you to be my sense of security. I want you to parent me. I trust you to parent me. And I receive you to parent me in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in us and with us. Thank you for this great, glorious gift that you've given to us so that we will never feel or be an orphan. We never need to live as orphans alone, feeling abandoned or afraid. You give us security by the presence of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. There is a mystery to you that we don't understand and that we don't see or comprehend with our natural minds, but we want to know you. We receive you and we welcome you into our lives and upon our lives, in every part of our lives, to do what only you can do. Reveal Jesus to us and parent us in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you.